I'm Tom Shrout.
And what's kind of your organization, and what is your affiliation with it?
Well, I'm the treasurer of Missouri for Better Transportation Solutions. This is an organization, campaign organization, that we filed with the Ethics Commission late last week. And we have about 45 people involved from across the state. Most of us are here in St. Louis. And our interest is most of us are pro-transportation and pro-investment in transportation, but we think using the sales tax is the wrong mechanism to fund mostly road projects in the state of Missouri.
Why do you feel why did you decide to organize? Obviously, the pro side is going to have a lot of money behind it. It has some political support. What do you feel is your role in this debate, which has obviously been truncated by the fact that it's in August as opposed to November?
Well, one of the reasons we organized and filed with the Ethics Commission, I wanted the media to know where to go to hear the other side of the story, quite frankly, because there's some people that are against all taxes, and I think there had been an inclination to search those folks out and ask them their opinion. But I think there's a story to be told about people who want good infrastructure, who want better light rail, who want better pedestrian and bike facilities, to have their voice heard, to say, now, hold on a second, we can do this, but this particular Amendment 7 is not the right way to go.
If you had a better mechanism to get another revenue stream for transportation, what would it be? Would it be increasing the gas tax? Would it be tolls? Would it be increasing diesel tax so truckers would potentially pay more? What would you think would be a better alternative to this?
Well, you hit it. One of the reasons we're against, and that is under this proposal, truckers wouldn't pay anything, and a lot of truck traffic just passes through Missouri, causing wear and tear on the roads, and they wouldn't pay anything. We think a better proposal is to rely on user fees, and the proponents say, well, that doesn't poll well, like tolling or gas tax increase. I think MoDOT and their supporters, and we're certainly ready to help, need to go out to the citizens of Missouri and say, now here's why a tax gas increase or a toll is in your best interest. In other words, if you said to the people of Missouri, 40% of the cost of redoing I-70 is going to be paid by other people that don't live in the state of Missouri. Don't you think that's a good deal? And that kind of education program, I think, would be important.
When you say truckers don't pay anything, is that a reference to legislation that was signed into law a couple years ago that exempts, I guess, truckers from certain sales taxes or something? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean both that, which came about a couple of years ago, as you said. If you go buy a new automobile, there's a sales tax levied against it, and that sales tax revenue goes into the road fund. If you go out and buy an over-the-road truck, there's no sales tax on that. And that doesn't seem fair to me. Plus, relying on the sales tax, unless an over-the-road trucker stops at a McDonald's and gets a sandwich, there's no tax on that person passing through the state, yet they're using the roads.
Now, I think that there's been a lot of criticism, for example, of St. Louis County's initial transportation lists because it is so highway-heavy. And the cities is less so. It seems a little bit more balanced. But obviously, Jeffco and St. Charles and Franklin are almost exclusively roads. I guess I have two questions for you. Is that another reason for your opposition for this? Because this invitation to list out projects has just incentivized most of the state to just list out road projects as opposed to doing maybe what St. Louis City did and diversify it a little bit more?
Mayor Slay put out a good list, I must say, and I live in the city, and had there been better lists, I might have reconsidered my opposition, to tell you the truth. But, a lot of people, the metro network is an example, bi-state. The bus network is a network that crosses city-county lines. A lot of people in the city of St. Louis work in St. Louis County, and the bus infrastructure, the transit infrastructure out there gets pretty thin. Now, this would be a chance to improve that, and it's not being taken advantage of. And then Other people talk to me, and they're concerned about the interchange at 44 and Shrewsbury as being the first step in the South County Connector, which a lot of people in Maplewood and Shrewsbury are against. And, you know, they need to think carefully about that as we move forward. I mean, if you look at trends, you know, young people are driving less. Older people, the population's getting older. I'm basically retired. Last year, we drove 7,000 miles. We put 7,000 miles on our car. A lot of people used to do a lot more than that. So there's people my age, the baby boomers, who are retiring and driving less. They need a different set of transportation options. They need bike, ped, transit. And I don't think the list that St. Louis County put forward reflects that evolving, changing way of living.
Now, to play my second part of my question, it's kind of a devil's advocate sort of question. If you ask somebody who works for MoDOT or you ask the county executive, you know, what the priorities are, and they'll point to something like 270 and point to specific parts of 270, which they feel like the infrastructure is very old, like 5 or 6 decades old, and there are certain interchanges that really need to be updated not only for, you know, convenience sake, but also for safety. And that may be replicated in other parts of the state in different highways. Would you say that there is still a need to fund highway projects, but it's just being tipped too much to that level and not enough balance or something?
I would say there's not enough balance. I mean, I'm a realist. I drove to the studio today. I'm going to drive to a meeting after that. When I was working downtown, I took Metrolink every day because that made sense. But our transit network's not robust enough to allow, you know, multiple trip business day. And a lot of people recognize that. So that would have been an investment. Sure, we need to improve some intersections and so on, and we need to maintain what we've got. But we really need to be rethinking our land use patterns and how we use land and whether land should be auto-centric. And a lot of people say, hey, those days are waning. You know, miles driven in the state of Missouri has declined, I think, for the last 8 years. It's a national trend. I mean, younger people are on Twitter and Facebook. They're not out driving around seeing their friends. They're tweeting and doing that kind of thing.
And I guess I'm not really that surprised, like Franklin, Jeffco, and St. Charles were all road projects because they don't really have mass transit to speak of. I mean, St. Charles obviously hasn't gotten into Metrolink. Jeffco and Franklin County haven't either. Would you say that they may have missed an opportunity to use that money to maybe start that? Or is the sales tax just not necessarily, this particular sales tax, maybe just not the necessarily appropriate method to maybe link into the mass transit systems that's already there?
Well, I think in the case of Jeffco, and I would have to double-check the list. It's not in front of me. But they did have, to their credit, they had some elderly and disabled paratransit.
Yeah, and so did Franklin. But it was about $1.7 million between the two of them.
Right.
So they had that, but continue.
But, you know, their land use is all set up for automobile use. And they would need to, over the period of a long period of time, you know, create community main streets is the lingo, you know, where you have it's walkable, there's business, it's mixed use development, residential and retail and so on, all mixed together. They would have to do that over a long period of time. And some communities around the country are doing just that. And then it's set up for transit.
I guess that we kind of talked about the prioritization of the list, which even if it was like really good lists across the board, the fact of the matter is this is still a sales tax. And one of the things that has really garnered a lot of opposition, particularly from the political left of center here, is that they don't really like the idea of funding a lot of these improvements with sales taxes because it is, to their view, an inherently regressive tax that falls primarily on people that consume a lot of things, which would be the poor, the elderly, you know, the lower middle class. Is that another thing that's concerning to you?
Yes, and yes, we've developed a list of what the sales tax would be in various municipalities. And in some places where you might have a transportation development district, it would be over 11%. Yes. And you know, that gives me pause, 11%. Someone sent me an email today that said, you know, that puts Amazon books at an 11% advantage over Left Bank books. And that's pretty serious. You know, that's a pretty serious differential.
Yeah, I looked at that myself. And here's some of the examples where it'd be above 11%. On South Grand, for example, where I think they have a TDD and a CID, it'd be over 11%.
Right.
A lot of places in the city, but also Richmond Heights, where I guess the Brentwood Promenade is. That would be over 11%. Edmondson is over 11%. And then you have all these other municipalities where it would – there are points where there are those transportation development districts or community improvement districts where it floats between the lower 10, the mid 10, or the high 10%, which is still – even if it doesn't reach that 11%, it's still like astronomical when it comes to sales taxes, especially when you compare it to some of the rural parts where it's still hovering around 5 or 6 or something like that. It seems like that might engender a lot of natural opposition in the urban areas because when they do the math and add that 0.75 to their sales taxes, it's going to go up beyond that number. So do you think that helps your cause?
Well, I in a perverse way, yes. And I think that, you know, the thing about the vote is people have to actually vote. And this is August, you know. And they need to be aware that it's on the ballot August 5th, and if they're not registered, get registered so they can go out and vote. This will probably be low turnout. Now, whether or not the Dooley Stinger race, you know, generates turnout in St. Louis County, I guess remains to be seen. But, you know, I agree. You know, it's getting – the sales tax is, you know, just getting up there. We need to think about it.
As far as the campaign goes, I mean, I don't think we've seen ads from the pro side. I've read places like they're polling and they may not even launch a campaign if the polling is bad, although I'm a little skeptical of that because this might be their only opportunity to do something with transportation for the next few election cycles. And it seems like it'd be kind of a wasted opportunity for them if they didn't do anything. But I guess I say that by asking, like, what do you think you're going to be up against as the con side to this from the pro side? Do you think that there is going to be a lot of money spent to try and pass this? And, you know, your role may just be as more of speaking out rather than spending money or doing any organizing?
We've, I think I said we've raised $610. And, you know, I don't know at this point what I might spend it on. I was thinking about a Facebook ad maybe real late in the campaign. No, we won't have money, but Eric Cantor had a lot of money, and he lost. And the thing that we're seeing, one of the things that we do in our consulting business is that we work with cities across the country on transit and transit tax initiatives and trying to get them passed. And one of the things we're seeing is that the social media, I don't think people fully appreciate how powerful this stuff can be. And, you know, I'm sitting there as a 66-year-old guy trying to figure this stuff out, you know. But we're trying – we have lots of young volunteers who are out on Twitter and you know, 140 characters telling our story.
Do you think it is possible, though, that – some entity may not want this to pass and may use your committee to be the conduit that runs anti-TV ads? Like, this is an example. I don't think this is going to happen. But let's say Rex Singfeld really hates this and wants to kill it. Is it possible he could give like $1 million to your group and you could start running TV ads? Just take out Rex Singfeld, for example. Just put any entity that really wants to defeat this. Could you be the conduit to, you know, be the TV anti for this?
I suppose in theory, but it would, you know, there's a value to being the underdog, and relying on volunteers. I mean, we've got people that are helping us out. We've got two people linked up in Jefferson City. We got somebody in Columbia. We got a group in Kansas City. I've had two calls this week from Joplin linking those people up. I mean, they're willing to be boots on the ground, and there's value to that in running an opposition campaign. I don't see ourselves as a conduit for an angel, to tell you the truth. If someone would say, you know, I can give you $1 million, I would say, why don't you do this? Give us $10,000 and go out and raise the other $990,000 from a broad base.
Yeah, but it kind of goes back to the question before I started taping. I'm wondering whether that's even going to be necessary, because I've seen instances before where ballot initiatives go on a local level. The medical research tax last
translational
year.
Translational medicine, yeah, in Kansas City.
I believe $3 or $4 million was spent pro, if I'm not mistaken. Two or three. A lot of money was tried to spend for. There was an anti-person, Brad Bradshaw, who spent a decent amount of money, but a much smaller amount of money. It failed 78 to 21, maybe?
16 to 84.
It failed in spectacular fashion. And I guess I point to that as showcasing that you don't necessarily need to spend a lot of money to defeat something that just doesn't really metastasize as a good idea, essentially.
Translational medicine is our poster child of how to do this, because we followed that. We were doing some consulting work in Kansas City at the time, and we were really interested in this measure and followed it in the Kansas City Star and KMUR, your sister station in Kansas City.
KCUR,
exactly. And it, as you said, social media and a little money just did this thing in. Plus, mistakes by the proponents, you know, to say we need to pass this tax to bring in high-paid researchers who might end up living in Johnson County, Kansas. You know, that's a little bit of a mistake. We've watched the streaming of the testimony before the Jackson County Legislature, and everyone testifying, Mr. Hall, Pete Levy, and one other person, all live in Johnson County, Kansas, and they were seeking a Jackson County tax increase. I mean,
this is an aside, but the thing that really confused me about that proposal was having done some reporting on research conduits here. Let's say the Danforth Plant Science Center. That doesn't have a local sales tax stream. It's been able to get its money through federal grants and private donations and whatnot. And it seems like it's doing pretty well for itself about being able to have the money to hire staff.
Right.
I just don't know whether the people behind that maybe looked to that type of way, looked at that model for maybe building institutions in Jackson County of just, you know, starting a center and using federal money and private money to do the research as opposed to a local sales tax stream. That's an aside. I know that's not the topic, but I found that to be very confusing in and of itself. So I guess my last question for you is, you know, what would be kind of your central message to voters who are going to be going out in August, and what do you kind of feel will be the lesson that we'll all learn from this entire issue when it's all said and done?
Well, as I said, we're pro-transportation investment, but this is the wrong tax. Sales tax is the wrong tax because a major user of our highways, the trucking industry, would not pay anything additional with a sales tax. And we need a proposal that perhaps has a broader tax base that considers gasoline tax, perhaps considers some tolling with an education program for the citizens of Missouri about the benefits of tolling to precede that. And I think we go back to the drawing board, and our group is willing to participate in that.